Today's reading is taken from Acts 2 and 3. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to a cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, at 3 p.m. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave him his attention, expecting to get something from them. Peter then said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped up to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them to the temple court, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Just pray, Lord Jesus. Just ask that you take these words and that you use them, that you empower them with your Holy Spirit. Amen. So, I've entitled this, What's in a Name? Where are we? The Holy Spirit has been poured out at Pentecost. Wind, fire, speaking in tongues, and crowds have gathered to gaze upon this phenomenon. And Peter addresses them. He tells them that Jesus Christ was a man accredited by God to do miracles, signs, and wonders, a man of whom it was impossible for death to keep its hold on. The power of God. Then we fast forward a day or two, not sure how long, and Peter and John are going to the temple to pray. Although they are at the very beginning of forming their own church, having received the Spirit at Pentecost, but here they are coming at the hour of prayer to pray at the temple. And they come to the lame beggar. A man, lame from birth, dependent on begging for his livelihood. The temple is probably a good place to go because the Jews were taught to be charitable. It made me think, wonder how the man who sits out Tesco's or the lady who sits outside of Aldi's would fare if they came and sat outside St. Mary's. Actually, I think they would fare well, because I think as a church, we really do have a heart to embrace people, and that includes everyone. And I think that they would be given food for their body and for the soul. And I think they'd be given an invitation to come and join us for prayer and worship. But this beggar couldn't go into the temple because it was against the law. In Leviticus, we read, no man who has any defect may come near. No man who is blind or lame, disfigured or deformed. No man with a crippled foot or hand, or who is a hunchback or a dwarf, or who has any eye defect. None of them. I think disability rights people would maybe have something to say about that in our society, but Jesus had something to say about it as well. He loved to perform signs and wonders with those who were excluded by the law. The woman with the issue of blood, the 10 lepers, the Syrophoenician woman's daughter, all outcasts from society. It's all right, I've only got 16 of these pages. Can't even turn it over. I'm shaking so much. Here we go. Anyway, the beggar asks for some coins. Now, I don't know about you, but I just feel awkward when I come upon people begging. Okay, our society is very different from the society at this time. No welfare state to support anyone. But I still feel awkward. Can I honestly say that if I give someone a pound, it's going to go towards drugs? I don't know. Is it better to get them a sandwich or a cup of coffee or ask them what they need? Can you do that in the power of Jesus? Of course you can. Love is the ultimate expression of the power of Jesus. And I read once, and it may have been in the big issue, but I read that it's really important to look people in the eye and to greet them because that affirms their humanity. But it's difficult, particularly if you're not going to give them anything, to walk up and look at them and say, good morning. But that makes them know that they are human. There was a guy who used to be outside Tesco's, and if I went up on my scooter, I always asked him to look after Minnie for me. And you could see that it just made him feel so much better about himself. Now, this ties in with what happened with Peter and John. There's a little bit in those verses that we read where it says they gazed into the man's eyes, or they looked into his eyes, and he into theirs. Different versions, you know, one version I said they looked intently. But there was this eye contact that went on. What was about to happen needed a deep human contact as well as the power of God. Some of you will know that I lost my little dog last week. She'd been taken very ill, very suddenly, and last Saturday I went to visit her in the ICU at Willows in Solihull. I'd really prayed before I went because I needed to know if the time had come to let her go or whether she wanted me to keep fighting for her. Think me mad if you like, but I needed to communicate with her. When I saw her in an oxygen tank, I sat and put my hand on her head. And she opened her eyes and stared straight into mine, and I into hers. And clearly, she said, Mum, please help me. And I knew that she was done with fighting this illness. And I went to speak to the vet, and whilst I was doing so, Minnie took a turn for the worse, and any decision was taken out of my hands. She may only have been a dog, but our communication through our eyes was as clear as any spoken word. And some people say about Peter and John's encounter with the beggar that it's interesting that the beggar didn't seem to need or contribute any faith to this encounter. They didn't ask him, you know, whether he believed. They just prayed, commanded. But we don't know what communication or discernment took place in that eye, through that eye contact. You know, Peter and John may have seen straight into, you know, the eye is the window to the soul. You know, Peter and John may have seen this guy is ready for God to move. We don't know. But we do know that whatever exchange was had, it was enough for Peter to reach out his hand and command the man to be healed in the name of Jesus, the Messiah. And the man, lame from birth, withered, useless legs, stood on his feet, and before their eyes, his ankles and feet became strong.
Peter and John went to pray. They met a lame man on the way. John, he asked for alms and he held out his palms. And this is what Peter did say. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He went walking and leaping and praising God. Walking and leaping and praising God. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.
Sorry,
well, thank you.
Again. Sorry.
Thank you for that, Marcus. Yeah, very good. Yeah. And that's exactly what happened. It's taken the words out of my mouth. He went walking and leaping and praising God. Yes, giving God the glory. And what did he do? He went into the temple. Verse 11 tells us that all the people went running towards them in amazement, and they recognised him as the beggar who'd been outside begging. And we go right back to the first verse that Julie read to us, that tells them that Jesus Christ was a man accredited by God to do miracles, signs and wonders. And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, takes the name of Jesus and continues that work of performing signs and wonders. So that's the narrative, somewhat expounded. But I'd really like to for us to take two things away with us. Firstly, there is power in the name. What's in a name? That which we call a rose by any other name would smell just as sweet. William Shakespeare, Romeo and Juliet. Maybe between the Montagues and the Capulets, there was nothing in a name. But there is power and authority in the name of Jesus. I remember reading once about a young child turning up at the White House and asking to see the president. I don't remember which president it was, but the child got in because he carried his father's authority. And if we carry the authority of the Holy Spirit, we will get in. There was power in the president's name. When we pray for people in the name of Jesus, there is power in his name. And that power meets us at our point of need. We may not be a lame beggar outside the temple. We might be a depressed Christian inside the church. But the power in his name is able to meet us where we are. Nothing too big or too small for us to reach out and touch his power. Power to heal, to cleanse, to forgive, to bring comfort. I remember I used to sing a song that was called One, A Touch of God. And that's all it takes, one touch of God. And the other thing I want us to take away with us is that Jesus always brought welcome with wholeness. I'll tell you in a minute when I found the last page. He did. He always brought welcome with wholeness. We know from the different people that he ministered to, this beggar included, that he loved to minister to people who were outcasts of society and who were excluded. But when Jesus touched their lives, they were no longer outsiders, they became insiders. He gathered people together. Community and inclusion always at the heart of Jesus' ministry. The cripple in our reading today wasn't just healed physically, he was healed spiritually, and he was healed socially. The temple was open to him, and the power of the Holy Spirit always wants to bring people into the church, the place of true belonging. Please, if you want to know the touch of his power to heal in whatever way, however minor, however major, I'm going to invite you later to go to the back where there may be someone to pray with you. I'm looking at Paul, I don't know. But hopefully there'll be someone there who can pray with you in the name of Jesus. But don't stay at the back, come right back to the place where you belong. What's in a name? In the name of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, there is power and inclusion. May you know both in your lives. Amen.